I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee. Right now we're at Green Frog Farm, and we're here with Dr. John Freeman. Hi, John.
We're glad to have you visiting with us today at Green Frog.
It's a pleasure. Word picture, where are we located in the state of Tennessee?
We're located just about in the center of West Tennessee. It's 70 miles to Memphis and 120 miles to Nashville.
Real centrally located for those on the music trail.
Yeah, very, very convenient for the people on the music trail, that's right.
You have lived quite a few different lives, really.
We started out in life as a medical missionary in the jungle of Thailand, and we spent time there. And then when we came back to the States, I got interested in restoring antique buildings that has developed into a little mini southern village.
Was this part of the family, or did you buy this when you came back?
We bought this farm after we moved back here because it joined my mother's farm.
The village, what you see here today, didn't exist when you moved back, right? Pretty much all the old historic buildings you moved in.
Yes, when we bought the place, it was just a big cotton field. And then we started moving buildings here. First were log. I was focused on the log buildings, and some are other buildings now.
Including a fully technically operational cotton gin that could possibly be fired up.
Yeah, the cotton gin, if you had enough money and energy, you could make that gin run again, yeah. Even though it's over 100 years old.
And you have a church that you towed in?
That's got a lot of history to it. That Methodist group started that church in 1825.
And how far away was the church that you towed in?
About 5 miles away. That building, we moved it all in one piece.
And then next door you have a log house and then another one. And these are used as places to stay for people to come here, primarily wedding groups?
Yeah, wedding groups, and then we have a lot of people that just want to stay in a log cabin. They come and spend 2 or 3 days, or maybe just one night.
Classic B&B, in that breakfast is included, or?
We say it's bed and breakfast, but we don't cook breakfast. We just put food in the cabin, and then they can cook their own breakfast at their leisure.
How do people find out about you?
Most of them by the Airbnb, and then the VRBO. Some of these vacation rentals, and then we have a website that people find it on.
Follows, I would think that a lot of people would be repeat and referral.
Yes, we have quite a few people that have been here several times, and they enjoy it, just getting out in the rural South and away from things.
I could imagine this being a great attractive place for people from Germany or France or China or Japan.
Yes, we've had a few people from Europe, Germany, England, Scotland, different places. These people typically are people interested in Southern music, Memphis and Nashville and New Orleans. And so we're right in the center of that, and they would come on their way from one place to the other to enjoy that music.
Tell us about the log cabins for a moment, what's inside of them, and how many people they would sleep.
Well, the three cabins that we have now for bed and breakfast, the one we're sitting in now will sleep 4 people, and then the other cabins have a main room and then a loft, so they will sleep about 5 people each, those are the 2 cabins.
And how much would that cost on average per night for each one?
For 2 people, $135 plus a $25 cleaning fee. That's about what it runs.
John, before we go, I was most fascinated with your younger days when you started out and you were a missionary in Asia at the bridge on the River Kwai, and you were involved in rebuilding the bridge on the River Kwai. That's incredible.
Well, the little hospital we lived or worked at and up on the upper reaches of the Kwai River, we had to cross the main bridge over the River Kwai, the one that was made famous by that movie. We crossed it on a wood-burning steam engine pull locomotive. Where we lived, up in the upper reaches, we built another bridge, a smaller bridge, of course, made out of old railroad rails from the Death Railway, and that connected our village to the hospital.
You were there not too many years after the end of World War II, and so there must have been that palpable ghosts and feelings of that time that happened not that long before.
Well, that's true. For instance, the old headman that created a pile driver to put the pilings down to put our bridge on, he had watched, during the Japanese days, he had watched them build bridges and saw how they did it. And so we had people there that were alive during the Japanese occupation. I read a lot about the stories of the bridge over the River Kwai and the tragedies there, and you might say I could feel the ghost of those people still in that area.
The Death Railway itself, that must have just been eerie to walk down that railway bed.
Yeah, that was, and the railway went near where we were, and the remains were still out there in an old steam-powered road packer and railroad cars that were abandoned there. So there was plenty of history from that there.
Briefly about your hospital and how you serviced and worked with the people.
Well, people ask me sometimes what kind of doctor I'm. I say, well, I'm started out as a jungle doctor. They say, what is that? Well, I said, anything that walks in the door, you treat it. If it's appendicitis, you operate on that. And cerebral malaria, when they come in unconscious with cerebral malaria, you take care of that. If they're a complication of a pregnancy, you have to do a C-section. You do a little bit of everything. But one of my favorite things was preventive medicine. When we went there in the jungle, one half of all the children died before they were 5 years old. So we started a program to give these children worm medicine and a malaria prophylaxis and then immunizations. And when we started that, after we started that program, within 3 months, all these children would be in the normal weight gain, and we eliminated that mortality. So that was what we prevented was far more important, I think, than a few cases that might be more dramatic.
And how long did you practice there?
We were in that, on the Kwai River, 3 years. And we were at other hospitals in Thailand. We were there a total of 10 years, mm-hmm. and some other hospitals as well.
When you came back to the States, did you continue to practice medicine?
I continued to practice medicine, and I found out that emergency medicine was the nearest to jungle medicine, so that's what I practiced the rest of the time.
You're 83 years old right now.
Yes, yes.
And you're still building log cabins and assembling structures and working very hard.
Well, yeah, I'm slowing down a little bit, but we've got one log cabin we've put together, got the roof on it and the floors on it, and that's another bed and breakfast, and then another one log cabin that we hadn't started the restoration on, so I've got a couple more years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it must be really rewarding for you.
Well, it is. It's rewarding to save history. I really appreciate the craftsmanship that these older people did and what they were able to accomplish. And so it's rewarding to save the craftsmanship that our forefathers put forth.
As you look forward to the day when you're gone, what is your vision for the future here?
Right now, my daughter, I have four children, but the one daughter that lives in Jackson is now taking over the Green Frog, and I told her, you can do what you want to with it, and so I do what she tells me to do now.
So you take orders?
Yeah, I take orders. I thought I could just sit down, take it easy, but do what I want to. But now I found out that's changed, and she's very demanding. She's got a good eye for things and for the beauty inside and for the landscape, so I'm pleased with the way things are going.
Only because I have to go. Otherwise, I'd like to spend the day with you, Joan. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilman. I thank you for coming, and it's been a pleasure to have you all visit with us.
We've been visiting with John Freeman, the owner of Green Frog Farm in Alamo, Tennessee. And for further information, we have greenfrogfarm.org. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
The night they were playing the beauty.